WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning. And coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be shining the South Coast Health Community Spotlight on the YWCA with Gail Fort. So we also have a call we're going to get to in just a moment. But real quick, couple of things. First of all, happy 35th anniversary to Paul and Al over there on WHJY. I know I'm not supposed to mention other radio stations and other radio shows, but 35 years is quite an accomplishment. And I remember listening those first, you know, I listened to them every morning when I was getting up and getting ready for school. And then when I was going to UMass and then when I was working in the morning. So congratulations to them on a big milestone. They still don't play New Kids on the Block or Madonna. That references their first commercial. But great to have them around all of these years. Also, happy birthday to my sister, Carrie. Happy birthday, Carrie. And also, we have a great Seize the Deal that's going on sale for you coming up at 9 a.m. A $1,000 camp credit to Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park, Cranberry Acres, and Carver for just $500. So you're going to get half off at Jellystone, Cranberry Acres, and Carver. If you are a camper and you've been to this, I mean, they've got everything. They've got water slides. They've got cabins. They've got all kinds of stuff. Like you wouldn't believe. Fun 107 was over there yesterday. You can check out on their Facebook page and Instagram all of the great fun they were having over there. But you can get $1,000 to Jellystone to plan your vacation over there for just $500. But these are very limited. So when they go on sale at 9 a.m., make sure you're right there at seizeadeal.com or else you're going to miss out. Because these are super limited and you want to make sure that you get one before they are gone. Seizethedeal.com. They go live at 9 a.m. All right, let's go to the phones. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Very good. Another great show. I want to thank you for that. So the reason why I called, it has to do with the that fire that happened in Fall River. Mm-hmm. So Monday through Friday, I drive people to and from medical appointments, and I pick them up. Most of the people I pick up are in Fall River, the high rises. I pick them up over at Oliver Street. I pick them up all over Fall River from their houses, and I take them back and forth to their medical appointments. So I've been going to Oliver Street for a little over a year. And so I drive like maybe three or four people over there. So when I woke up yesterday morning, I seen this on the computer, so I sent out a couple of messages to some other drivers that work for the same company as I do, and everybody woke up, they didn't know anything about it. So there was one particular lady who I've been driving for the year, and the reason why I know her is because she had another house before that, and then she moved to Oliver Street, so she was a regular client of mine, and her name was Lorraine. So yesterday morning, we all been praying because I tried to reach Lorraine over the phone and no luck. And yesterday, I was listening to Barry conversing with Brian, and all of a sudden, there was an interview coming across, and I heard her voice. And then all of a sudden, Lorraine was on TV, she was on the computer. And it was like, amen, she made it. The other two gentlemen that I drive for, I don't know. I'm going to have to wait and see by pictures. It's really a sad story because these people, like Lorraine, for example, like it originally said, it took her a little bit of time to get to the door because another lady tried to get her up quick. The problem with a lot of those people in that facility, they're either with a cane or a rollator. And so Lorraine, to go 20 or 30 feet, it would take her like probably a good minute or two. So it's a really sad situation. And those poor people, really nice people. My heart prayers go out to those folks.
Well, I can tell you, if you want to see photos of some of the victims, WCVB had some on their website, Channel 5's website.
Yeah, it's and the firemen, the policemen, all those guys. I mean, you see the way they're carrying bodies down those ladders. And you know, it's nice to stop pointing fingers, but not really as the smoke is settling. It's not quite the time to be pointing fingers. Those guys were heroic.
Absolutely. Yeah, and everybody, the police officers that ran in first, the neighbors that were coming over and helping out and bringing ladders.
And so when you go to that facility, you go to the back. It's almost like a horseshoe. So on Oliver Street, when you're on Oliver Street and you look at the facility, you go up, that would be the main entrance of the door to go in. And it looks like an old hotel where you go in.
Right. Yeah, it is an old hotel.
Right. But the clients, they all like to get picked up in the back. So when you go to the back, there's a big tent set up, and these people like to smoke a lot. And so yesterday we heard some rumors as to why this all happened. So it's going to be kind of curious to see what the final result's going to be. So my prayers, my thoughts to all involved. It's so sad, and hopefully the best will come out of this is now they're going to start to inspect all of these buildings, because I got a feeling there's some violations in that building.
All right, we will find out. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Tim, also one other thing.
Yes.
I drive one of your more famous callers that call in every day.
No.
If she'd like to call and say that she drives with me, that's fine. If she does not, that's also fine. But the client that I'm mentioning, she's a great client. Enjoy driving her around. So you all have a great day. Thank you. And God bless the people of Fall River.
Take care. And I will say, one of the reports that I read said that while they're doing better at inspecting, I think it said they were doing better at inspecting nursing homes, but that assisted living facilities, they've kind of lagged behind in some of the enforcing some of the regulations. So, however, this facility did just pass an inspection in October, I guess, of last year. So, and it was due to have another inspection this fall. So we'll definitely get more to that story coming forward. Right now, though, it is time for us to turn the community spotlight on, brought to you by South Coast Health. They help us shine a spotlight on all the great organizations around the South Coast doing great work. And it's time to do that now. All right, we're joined now by Gail Fortz, the Executive Director of the YWCA. Good morning, Gail. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be here.
And we hear a lot about the YWCA, but I really want to get into all of the different things that it can do for people, because I think people have an idea of it as an organization, but they might not know how multifaceted it really is.
Yes, we are, a multi-service, organization. I think people still think about, when we had the pool in the gym, and if we don't do that, what do you do? And we haven't had a pool in the gym since 1996, believe it or not.
Wow.
And there's so many other things that, YWCAs, do. We're right downtown. We're basically right around the corner from where we used to be. And our mission is to eliminate racism, empower women, and promote peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for all. And I think, people think it's just for women, and it's not. We service all people, in the community. And we have so many different programs for ages, children all the way up to adults.
Yeah, because I think, it started off with the mission for women.
Yes.
But then I love the fact that the YWCA has been able to expand that and become more of a voice for a lot of different parts of the community.
Yes, absolutely. I think, like you said, when we first started, here locally, 1911, but YWCAs are global, as well as, national organizations that started off as, like you said, women, young people, Christian. And as you said, we service everyone, and we're always open to having conversations, providing programming, collaborating in many different ways, like here locally. And we always joke around that, you've seen one YWCA, you've seen one YWCA. Like, we have the name, but it's really community based. So here locally, and we are Southeastern Mass, we do, I'll give you a few examples, some of our programs, for youth. like we do child care program. We're licensed by the state for early education and care, children ages 5 through 13. So we pick up from local schools. We provide transportation. We do have curriculum, but we do fun stuff as well. We have a summer program. Anytime we're out of school, whether it's a professional development day, if it's a snow day, if possible, we try to be open because we know it's important to parents. And it's boys and girls, you know, ages 5 through 13, split up in different age groups, doing a lot of different, you know, fun things. We have babysitting classes that we offer, first aid, home alone. We do a conference for young people in the fall, aged at like middle school groups. So, and we also are the host of the Youth Council here in New Bedford. So we have a lot of programs for youth, and we have just as much, if even more, you know, for adults. And even though it's, like I said, youth, but the families are also part of that. So even if your child is coming here, you know, we're, you know, if we see that there's a need or if you're asking for help, we're always ready to refer, you know, people. You know, we always do the backpack drive, you know, before school starts, and giving out, you know, toys and food and coats. So we really try to be, you know, as well-rounded, you know, as possible. But, you know, we have a lot of programs for adults. We have support groups for widows and widowers, or anybody who lost a partner. You don't necessarily have to be married, you know, to the person. And we have 4 support groups, you know, running currently, and going to be opening another one in the fall in the Fall River area, because it's, you know, that's such a need when people, you know, lose a partner. We have a lot of educational, you know, programs that were really, you know, community based, again, based on needs, such as like financial literacy, which we know is hugely important, and budgeting. And we talk about leadership classes to be on boards or commissions, which is fun because that's one of the ones I teach, you know, myself. And we have another one coming up in this fall because a lot of people want to get involved in civic engagement and get involved in nonprofits or other organizations, and they really don't know anything about it. And then by doing that, we're able to connect people, you know, with other resources. We have 3 residential programs that we operate for low-income women in our community, you know, as well. So we do have a lot. And of course, we always, you know, talking about issues that are important to people, you know, advocacy, you know, is really, you know, important to us, which we know housing is a big issue. That's one of our big issues. Childcare, of course, and the IM bill, which is, you know, reproductive health and having, you know, free access to menstrual products. So those are the ones that we're working on, you know, right now.
Well, you used a word that I think, you know, is key to all of this. You used the word empowerment. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, you know, all these programs exist so that if somebody is facing a challenge in their life, that challenge doesn't become what defines them and doesn't become right. A roadblock of them being the best versions of themselves.
Exactly. And I think, you know, learning how to advocate for yourself is really important. And I think even something as, you know, when you're going to the doctor's office, having somebody to go with you to ask those questions or to teach you, like, it's okay to ask questions or to talk about, you know, what the challenges might be. Because as you said, it's not a defining moment. You know, everyone goes through ups and downs, you know, in their lives on a variety of things. And, you know, life is hard for a lot of folks, and we're seeing a lot of people that are, you know, they're working, you know, they're struggling to pay rent or to buy a house or keep their car payments. And it's a, you know, multitude of different populations, you know, that we see. And sometimes having that, you know, extra bag of fruits, fresh fruits that we're getting over the summer, as an example, you know, might make a difference for people, or a resource where they can, you know, get fuel assistance or help with, you know, banking and a low interest loan, or even a free checking account. Like, oh, they don't, you know where to go. So I think those things are really helpful for folks because that can be life changing. I mean, if you have bad credit, as an example, it's really difficult to, you know, do some of the things that you want to do. So working with some of the local banks, helping people figure that out, can be, you know, life-changing for not just one person, but their whole family.
And don't take this the wrong way, because you certainly do a good job of letting people know about these things that are happening, but so much of what you do happens on a quiet level.
Yes.
You know, it's not something that you're looking for a lot of fanfare for, because a lot of times these people don't necessarily want to draw attention to the fact that they needed that helping hand.
Right.
So, you know, I think the YWCA does so much that people might never not... They might not know that so many people in their lives have been helped by the organization.
Right, and you're right. And I mean, that's one thing we're always trying to work on, is I think we're just so busy doing the work sometimes, or helping people, that, you know, we could do better with communication and marketing and letting people know, like you said, because sometimes people don't want to know.
Right.
Like,
when I think it's more on the folks
that
don't
coming for services.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the people there, they find out because somebody else came in and they said, oh, go see the YWCA because they can help with that. Because sometimes too, you know, people are embarrassed, or, you know, everybody has pride, or, you know, they're very private. They don't want anyone, you know, to know. And we always say, you know, everything that happens here is confidential. you know, to, or for making a referral. I mean, many times I've picked up the phone myself and said, hey, so-and-so, you know, needs X. This is the place to go. Maybe you can help them, because sometimes they don't want, you know, their job to know, or even sometimes other family members to know. And that's happened, you know, several times in several of our programs. So I think, again, we're trying to be respectful of people's decisions and their opinions, but letting them know that we're here. And even if you might not need it now, but, you know, we're here as a resource, you know, later on. But I think, you know, again, some people still have that old misconceptions of some of the things that we do, which I think are still being done, but just done in a different way, as you said, empowerment, you know.
And that also does lead, there has been some kind of misinformation or misunderstanding of what mm-hmm. it is that you do. And mm-hmm. we've heard, you know, there's been a lot of discussion that's happened right. with some of the projects that you're looking to yes. put into place. And I'm sure it's frustrating for you as you're trying to do this good work and, mm-hmm. and help people, that people have this preconceived notion or this false idea gets out about the work that you're doing and, mm-hmm. and why you might want to be renovating a certain property.
Yes. And it is, you know, challenging. You know, I think that we're doing this, you know, the project that we were working on, and, you know, the home is beautiful. And I think everyone deserves to have and live in a place that is, you know, beautiful and accessible. And, you know, the challenge with that place that we're renovating, you know, currently is, you know, it's not handicap accessible, and for people with disabilities. And we service people with disabilities. We service people with many different, you know, issues or challenges, and some people that don't have any challenges at all. And their challenge is, you know, rents are really high. Mm-hmm. And as a single person, we have elderly, you know, living with us that, you know, their children are not local, or they don't have family members. So to have a room, and then you know, a shared common space, but to have an accessible entrance, restroom, you know, kitchen facilities, you know, was important to us. So, you know, doing that project on a beautiful historic home, you know, in our city, that is really, really important, you know, to us, because, you know, we're a firm believer in that. And this is, you know, that's our third project, you know, that we've worked on. We haven't had any issues too. You know, we would love to do more, you know, in the future, because we know housing is a need, whether it's us ourselves or collaborating, you know, with others, because we know that there's, you know, such a need, and we see it every single day. I mean, just our wait list alone is 85 people on a constant basis. And I hear, you know, people coming in with all different stories. I mean, stories that I've never even, you know, heard of before, of, you know, someone selling the house, they have 30 days to get out.
Yeah.
And they're working. You know, they don't qualify for X, Y, or Z. They're not a certain age. We heard about the YWCA, you know, as a safe place that, you know, that I can live, I can go to work every day, you know, pay my fees, you know, too. So that's something the last, I would say, year or two that we're seeing more and more of every single day. That, so I think it's a lot, as you said, so thank you for bringing that up. There is a lot of, you know, misconceptions. But I think everyone out here must know someone that's facing, you know, some type of housing, you know, challenges. And all we're trying to do is provide safe, secure, you know, housing. And I always look at it, and so does the staff and the board, if we want to have a place that any one of us would be happy and proud to live in. So by remodeling and keeping, you know, these homes, because we have two of them that are historic homes. The other one is new, the one that's attached to our main office. But again, we take pride in that, and doing something like this, just like the sprinkler systems and every, you know, keeping the lawn nice and all of those different things are things that, you know, is beautifies the city, you know, as well.
Let's face it, you know, it's not only a matter of, you know, needing to cater to the particular needs of who might be needing to stay there at this time,
right,
but it's keeping that historic home viable for the future.
Exactly. Because we all know, you know, like I said, we have three historic properties, including our main office. So I've learned a lot about historic preservation and how beautiful, you know, these homes are. And keeping up is a lot of work. We have a fabulous, you know, maintenance person that's really diligent about really keeping the, you know, how it was as close to as possible with, you know, historic. We work very closely with, you know, New Bedford Historic, Mass Historic, to make sure that we're, you know, doing that. So they looked at all the plans, they looked at everything, you know, and the city was a great partner, you know, as well, so that anything we do to any of the buildings, you know, meet the codes. And like you said, we're not tearing things down. You know, we're making sure that it just enhances, you know, those buildings. Because as you know, and as everybody knows, that we have such beautiful historic homes, you know, in New Bedford. It's a great use of space. I mean, it's 12, you know, 12 people have a nice place to live in that one facility. We have 7 in another and 8 in another. So that's 27 people have a safe home in an old historic building that is beautiful, and that they can call, you know, their own. And one thing that always stuck with me is, you know, we had one person that said, wow, for the first time I have a key to my own place.
Wow.
because, you know, she wears it on a lanyard and, you know, I never forget, you know, those stories because it's like they've, you know, depending on where they've come from, you know, and we have another woman, she's an older woman. She's like, I went from, you know, living at home with my parents to living with my husband and my family. And now I'm a widow. My children are gone. And I love being here because as an elderly person, you know, she's, you know, scared to be, live by herself. So it's a great place for her. And she's like the grandma, you know, of the group. And she's funny. And, you know, everybody takes care of her. And we look out for her, you know, and making sure, you know, we want her to stay as long as possible. And that's a great part is, you know, it's permanent housing. And as long as she can stay, you know, we would love for her to do that, you know, as long as possible. So we have, you know, ages, I think 18 to she's, I think, in her 70s. You know, right now. So that's a nice mix of, you know, people that get to kind of, you know, hang out and talk to each other and they learn from each other as well.
Yeah, it creates a community, a family.
Exactly.
Instead of just moving into a building where you might not ever talk to any of your neighbors because you have nothing in common with them.
Exactly.
But when you move into a situation like this, you know, everybody's kind of in that same situation and you get to rely on each other.
Right, exactly. You know, and we have, you know, a staff person that meets with them all. And like you said, similar to what we're talking about with some of the other, you know, programs and like, all right, what are your needs? What are you looking for? Is it going to school? Is it finding a job? Is it, you know, you need, you know, elder services, you know, so it's all, and some people are fine. They don't, you know, they don't need anything. We've, you know, Mass Hire has come in and talked about jobs. We've had banks come in, talk about financial literacy. We had some come in about cooking, you know, how to cook for one person, because that was an issue when you live, you know, with a family, cooking for one and, you know, I don't know how to do it or I'm wasting, you know, a lot of food. So, you know, we try to like, again, listen to their needs and provide, you know, services that, you know, mean something to them. And we always ask their, well, what do you want to learn about? You know, it's not us telling you, it's what you did. And I didn't really think about that, like, you know, cooking for one type thing.
Yeah, they might give you ideas that then become programs.
Exactly. So, you know, it's not just giving them this bag of, you know, vegetables where it's like, oh, I don't even know what this is sometimes. But it's like, okay, how can you prepare it? How you can eat a healthy meal? And then how do you, whether you, you know, save it, freeze it, you know, and a lot of times too, they share, you know, with the others, as you said, because it's a community. And I think that's great. You know, we don't force it. They don't have to do that. But I think it just happens naturally.
Man, I wish my neighbors would cook for me. It always smells so good.
Exactly, yeah.
So how can people reach out if they, because I know you said word of mouth is a big part of how people find
word,
you. But
word of mouth, definitely. I mean, social media, you know, we're on there. We have a website, you know, the office is open from 9 to 4 every day, Monday to Friday downtown. People can come in, they can ask questions, they can meet the staff. You know, we have a lot of different, you know, brochures and programs, you know, going on. But the website lists everything, all the applications for whether it's childcare program or, you know, residential. We have a board leadership, like I said, coming up in the fall. We have a Women of Distinction Awards coming up. So we're looking for nominations. So looking for that. We're always looking for volunteers, you know, as well. Internships, that's a big one. Any students out there, you know, we have one for the summer, but, you know, once fall rolls around. So many different ways. And of course, you can, you know, old-fashioned way, you can call on the phone and always can stop by. Someone's always there from 9 to 4.
And what if, I'm sure, you know, you appreciate help from the community as well. What if somebody wants to help out with all the great things that you do?
Definitely. They can do that again on the website or they can call too. Or, of course, donations are always greatly, you know, accepted. And doesn't always just have to be monetary. I mean, we're always looking for, you know, donations of different things. As I mentioned, we'll be doing a backpack drive pretty soon. Or a lot of times, you know, community's been very generous with coats, you know, as our clothing. We've had purses, socks, you know, a lot of different things as well. So there's a lot of different ways that people can get involved. And of course, you know, we're always looking for committee members, people that like, you know, do a little bit more type thing. We have a lot of different functions coming up. I know a lot of people know about our Red Dress event, you know, that is in February, but the committee starts, you know, in October. So we're always looking for volunteers as well.
So if you need help or if you want to help, the YWCA is the way to connect it all.
Absolutely.
All right, Gail, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me.
All right, we are late for a break. We're going to take that. We'll get the news with Mike on the other side and then the Gen X files for today. Then more with you, 508-996-0500.
4 astronauts scheduled to return home. Flooding continues in Texas and stamp prices on the rise.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
New Jersey's property taxes are far higher than the rest of the country. Kristen Marks reports.
Realtor.com looked at recent data and found that the median property tax bill in the Garden State is just over $9,400. That's nearly three times the median tax bill nationwide, which rose 2.8% from 2023 to 2024 and currently stands at $3,500. The rise is largely due to soaring home values and changes in local tax codes. The state with the second highest median property tax is New Hampshire at just over $7,700, followed by Connecticut, Washington, and New York.
Trash continues to pile up across California as garbage workers remain on strike while negotiating with Republic Services. It's also happening in Massachusetts, too. Republic Service workers also walked off the job in Southern California. Workers there are striking with Unity, with Boston workers as well. They want better pay and better health benefits. Even if agreements are reached, it could be a few days for workers to return to their jobs. Officials say more rescues were needed in central Texas after intense rain and flooding hit the area once again. It comes after the deadly 4th of July weekend, with floods killing at least 130 people in the region. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas says the water rescues were carried out on Sunday in three counties. Some communities were under evacuation orders. In Kerrville, they saw massive devastation in earlier flooding. Water has been rushing over city streets. The chance of storms is starting to decrease. The 2025 Emmy nominations will be announced today. This year's nominees will be released at 11:30 this morning from the Television Academy's Wolf Theater in Hollywood. Some of the top shows expected to receive nominations include The Bear, Andor, The White Lotus, and The Pitt. The 77th Emmy Awards will take place on September 14th. Comedian Nate Bargatze will host. It now costs a little bit more to mail a letter in the U.S. USPS prices on Sunday jumped from 73 cents to 78 cents. The price increase is part of the USPS's 10-year financial stability plan. Last year, the USPS said there would be five stamp price increases over the next few years. It also plans to raise prices in January and July of 2026 and 2027. Bitcoin is surging as the House prepares to take up crypto legislation this week. The price of one Bitcoin rose to $122,000 yesterday morning and later fell to around $119,700. Bitcoin has been setting new records over the past week.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Good Tuesday morning. Waking up to some patchy fog and a couple showers here for the South Coast. Nothing too big or bad with the rain today. Just a few drips and drops this morning, and we will have a couple scattered showers really throughout the early afternoon. But then things clear out. Even the clouds start to part by the time we get into the late afternoon and early evening. Now, in terms of temperatures, we're starting out in the low 70s this morning. Pretty mild for this time of year. But by this afternoon, we're in the mid-80s, and that's just the beginning. We have a heat advisory that starts at 11 o'clock this morning. That's going to go all the way through Thursday evening, because temperatures and humidity will continue to go up as we move throughout the week. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, and we are a little bit late with it today, but better late than never, right?
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. We'll start with celebrity birthdays. Singer Linda Ronstadt is 79 today. Actor Terry O'Quinn, best known for Lost, but who also starred in the Stepfather horror films in the 80s, turned 73. Willie Ames, who was on 8 is Enough in the 70s and Charles in Charge in the 80s, is 65, as is model Kim Alexis. A guy who has been in everything, actor Forrest Whitaker, is 64. Actress, model, and Sylvester Stallone's ex, Brigitte Nielsen, is 62. Comedian Eddie Griffin is 57. 90210 star Brian Austin Green turns 52 today. But could he still pass for 17? In 1968, soap opera One Life to Live premiered on ABC and ran until January 13th, 2012. After a few months trying to continue as a streaming option on The Online Network, that was just the name of the network, The Online Network, the show eventually ended for good on August 19th, 2013. July 15th, 1985, nude photos of Madonna taken in 1977 appeared in that month's Playboy and Penthouse magazines. On this date in 1989, Simply Red hit the charts, the top of the charts, for the second time with If You Don't Know Me By Now. It was their second number one after holding back the years, but it only spent a week atop the charts. July 15th, 1998, Aerosmith was forced to cancel a forthcoming U.S. tour after Joey Kramer was involved in a freak accident. The drummer's car was set on fire and completely destroyed as he was filling it up with gas. He was admitted to the hospital with second-degree burns. In 2006, Twitter was launched. And in 2007, Rock of Love with Bret Michaels premiered on VH1.
Open Gangnam Style.
On July 15th, 2012, Korean rapper Psy's campy performance of his hit song Gangnam Style, featuring his invisible horse dance, debuted on YouTube. And by December of that year, it became the first music video to top 1 billion views and counting. And July 15th, 2018, November Rain by Guns N' Roses became the first 90s video to pass a billion views on YouTube. The next closest 90s video was Zombie by the Cranberries at 739 million. That's the Gen X Files for July 15th, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Porch Sampler. We're all month long. They are celebrating National Ice Cream Month with special days all through July. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for more information. All right, I've got to get another break in here. Well, we are definitely behind this morning, but we'll get all caught up. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. Is that the greatest pop song of all time? Well, maybe at least from the 80s. And that's the song that when I hear it, I just have to listen to it. It's in entirety. I was here later than I wanted to be yesterday. I thought I was going to get out early, but I was working on a bunch of stories. I wrote a whole bunch of stories yesterday. And so I left here a little bit after 7, had to stop and run a couple of errands, pick up my laundry down at Dash Laundromat. We'll get into that in a moment. But then when I got home, that was on, came on right as I was pulling up to the house. And I said, well, I guess I'm not going into the house for another 5 minutes and 4 seconds because I'm staying in the car and listening to this in its entirety. And I did so. But yes, Dash Laundromat, as you know, they are all summer long doing $1 a pound for their wash, dry, fold service. But how would you like to get your laundry done for free? Because it is that time of year again. Dash Laundromat is coming back with its third annual free laundry day. So mark your calendars and let the laundry pile up because you can wash, dry your clothes absolutely free. Plus, there'll be tons of giveaways, food, and lots of family fun. Dash Laundromat is doing its part to give back to its community with Free Laundry Day on July 27th. And it's going to be the biggest free laundry day ever. So find Dash Laundromat on Facebook for more information. But just make that plan that on July 27th, bring your laundry down to Dash. You're going to get to wash and dry your clothes for free at either of Dash's locations. One State Road in Dartmouth and the new one forthcoming on Rodney French Boulevard in the south end of New Bedford. They say you're going to get it done at Dash, and on July 27th, you're going to get it done for free. All right, I've got one more break I've got to get in before the end of the hour. We're finally getting caught up here. We'll be back in a few moments. Well, of course, that's Mixed Emotions by the Rolling Stones, and you may not be the only one with mixed emotions, and you're certainly not the only one with a mixed drink in your hand when you head on over to Brack's Tavern and Tap, Brack's Grill and Tap, rather, or Brack's Tavern, getting them confused. You can go to Brack's Grill and Tap in Brockton or Taunton, or Brack's Tavern in Middleboro, or Brack's Cafe on Bellevue Avenue in Newport. But right now, they have all kinds of great summer drinks, frozen cocktails, regular cocktails, and even mocktails. Whether it be frozen coconut mudslides, watermelon Hugo spritzers, and more of your favorite summertime drinks, all available. Plenty of indoor and outdoor seating, so even with some of the rain we're going to get this week, it won't matter. You'll be able to enjoy Brack's in any weather. And then next time you stop in Newport, make sure you stop into Brack's Cafe and start your day with coffee, bakery items, sandwiches, and more. Visit Brack's Grill and Tap in Brockton or Taunton and the all-new Brack's Tavern in Middleborough and Brack's Cafe in Newport. And find out more at BracksGrillandTap.com.